as we are going to that place in the Bible. We're in the King James, but you, whatever version you have. The next day, John saw Jesus coming unto him. He was coming to be baptized, and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." Lord, help us to have understanding here. Help us to grasp what you're trying to say to us. And everyone said, amen. Now, I just took a bath. I don't have socks on because I wounded myself, and it's just better without socks, but I'm going to take these off. And if anything gets real bad in here, just wave at me and I'll put them back on, but I think I'm okay. All right. Lily has a T-shirt. I think I saw it. Was it this morning or yesterday? Yep. And tell what that... Grandma, don't keep a naughty list. And my thought tonight is Jesus does not keep a naughty list. And neither should we. And he really doesn't. He's really brought you in here to love you and to let you know that you are loved by him. And he cares for you. And he does not keep a naughty list on you. This is a subject. If you study this subject with your phone and your Google search, you'll find there's a lot of Bible verses that say that God forgets and doesn't remember your sins. When he forgives you, part of the God kind of forgiveness is to forget, not speak of those things anymore. Turn people free. Make people free. Let me have Isaiah 43:25, please. And the word says here, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. Now listen to me. There's two things I want you to see here. He blots those sins out. In the original language, that is a strong thing. Like he's going to make that like nobody can ever see it again. And the only one that's going to bring that up is not the Lord. It's people that are devilish, and it's the devil himself. And he'll come to your mind, or he'll come one way or another. But we know that in Lamentations, the Word of God says this, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And God, I want you to see this also, because I'm going to, before this short word is over, I'm going to ask you to forgive, to really look in yourself, look in your heart, see if you're holding something against somebody, and ask God to help you turn it loose. I am he that blotteth out your transgressions for my own sake. For my own sake. I think God knows how things work. And I'm asking you, for your own sake, whatever somebody did to you, please try to get over it. It would be the very best for you. One of the ways we would do that is not to speak of it, not to bring it up to people. It's not easy to do this. You know, really, it's easy to become a believer. It's a little harder to stay a believer and to grow and to meet the challenges and the lessons that God has in our life, in every one of our lives, for us to remember, for us to grow by. And if you would please, in the sound booth, thank you, you're doing so well. Give me Mark 11:25-26. These are the words of Jesus Christ. He just got through telling them that whosoever that would say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in their heart, they will have whatever they ask for. And then he says this, and it's a connecting verse to verse 24. And by the way, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anybody, so that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you will not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. This affects getting answered prayer. If you've got somebody in your life, you don't need to tell it to anybody at all. But if you've got somebody in your life, in just a moment, we're going to examine our hearts and take communion. We're going to take it with a clean heart. But I would just say to you, forgive if you have aught against anybody, because God will not forgive you if you will not forgive others. That can be a serious, serious problem. It could affect your future. It could affect your lifespan. It could affect many things. So take that into consideration and turn with me, we're almost through, to Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Instead of being hateful, the word says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, not you that talk in tongues, you that are spiritual, not those that have perfect church attendance, you that are spiritual, restore that person in the spirit of meekness. The only way to restore somebody is to get down in their level and be humble and restore them. Restore them. You know, if it was so easy, we'd have to build a bigger building yesterday. But there's a little bit more. When we look into it, there's more to it. Now, God's going to be loving you and working with you, and he will order up circumstances where you'll have opportunity to do these things. I think I may be more guilty than anybody in this room about what I'm preaching about tonight. So think about it. And you with your spiritual, if you're really so spiritual, well, I'm not going to talk to them. They did, or blah, blah, this, or I'm not even going to look their way. I'm not going to, if I see them at Walmart on aisle 3, I'm going to be on aisle 4. I'm going to get away from them. I don't want to have to meet them. You that are spiritual, restore them. Help them. Keep no record of wrongs that's been, and that, see, that's subtle. It's very subtle how that, you don't know what they did to me when I was a kid, Brother Angelo. Yeah, I probably don't need to know. And you need to probably forget about it. And you can forgive and have things leave you if you stop telling everybody about it, especially yourself. Stop talking to yourself about the nonsense and the sin of the past that people's done against you. I'm not saying they haven't sinned against you. I'm saying the word says in the book of Romans chapter 12, recompense no man evil for evil or railing for railing, but rather give place for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And let me tell you something. God knows what's in the heart of that person more than we do. And it may be it wasn't as bad as we think it was. And whether or not it was, you know what? We are all here. I'm going to tell you something. I cannot tell you how many people that I have seen lose many things, including their life, that had a problem here and wouldn't get over it. And starting with, I want you to, if God gives you an opportunity where you can remember this service, where you have been at odds like I have for many years with this person, probably 30 years, I said, so-and-so, I said, it's probably, you might not remember, but I remember. I said words to you that I shouldn't have said. and I'm asking you to just forgive me. And I don't even know if he's the church person, but you should have seen him hang his head and say, Brother Angelo, I never think about that. And I said, okay, then we're good. Man, there's nothing better than getting your everything lined out, everything that we're mad about. I'm not saying they didn't hurt you. I'm saying give it to God. Let God take care of the matter. Maybe we'll find out. Have you ever thought something was some way with you and another person just to find out it wasn't that bad? It was just a misunderstanding. Has that ever happened to anybody in this room? Yes. And let's ask about that. Let's talk to God about that. And for everybody, anybody that wants some restored things and you think you might need to talk, have a little talk with somebody, put your hand up right now. Father, for everybody that's got their hand up, I'm asking that you create a situation for them where they can humble themselves and repent to them. Whatever that person, whoever that is, in Jesus' name, amen. Last place tonight is 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Very favorite verse. I use it almost every week for communion. And it is the essence of what it means to be a believer. See, the letter of John, believe it or not, was not written to lost people. It was written to the church, okay? To church people. Okay, and this is what the word says. If 1,535 times in the King James Version of the Bible, leading you to understand, God has got a lot of stipulations in here, and we better know each and every one of them if we're going to pray or get, if we're going to say, well, that doesn't work for me. Well, how deep did you dig in to why one thing or another happened, or you got a prayer answered or you didn't? If we confess our sins, God is faithful, and he has a legal right to forgive us our sins. See, sitting around where the accuser of the brethren or anybody else is, when you confess, you're about to confess or pretend that you're confessing. But that's what communion is all about. It's taking that inventory of your life and saying, is there something I need to get straightened out between me and God? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brother Angelo, I don't know if I could ever get over that. That's just in me. Try confessing it to God. I'm not asking you to confess it to everybody else. There was one time many years ago, it just shocked me. We were on the square, we had a confess your fault service, like it said in James chapter 5. Man, I heard things I never wanted to hear. I couldn't stop that service quick enough. I'm in adultery. I did this. I did that. This one over here. And I thought, man, I ain't never going to do that again. Look here. Whatever you did, keep it between you and God. And let me say this here. Let's make an altar where you're sitting or come. And you don't have to take communion if you don't want to. And anybody in here is invited to break bread and take communion with us. We'll be out of here in just a minute.